Who is Cole Kublik?
No idea.
This could be trouble.
Now with the call, Cole Kublik.
Auburn.
We just talked to Cole Kublik a little while ago.
You watch him now on the screen.
It's bad ball. It's bad football.
That was Chip Bellet, number 61.
I get.
Speak up, please.
Get you some of that, Jalen Tabor.
Is that good enough for you?
I'm almost embarrassed.
You can be miserable, but they are going to be miserable with you.
I said what I said.
We have to score.
What an exciting time in America.
And here he is, having the time of his life.
Don't clap. That could be tough. Don't clap.
Here on the Cube Show, Dale Jackson not on the show. Dale Jackson apparently is somewhere in the Middle East or just the East.
Yeah, he's in New York. The wife planned a trip for him, so you know, show's over there today. You
Why
don't have to worry
like
about
Dale tell his radio obligations that he's going to New York.
I'm shocked he didn't.
Shocked?
I've known all week, so I'm really surprised that no one else knew, but if it makes you feel any better, I can scream things about Trump. I won't necessarily know what I'm talking about, but I can scream about Trump and then the possibility of Dale running for office until I'm blue in the face, if you'd like. It'll feel like he's here.
Dale, this is what I want to talk about. This is why it's so stupid that Dale's not here. Next, I think Dale wants to run for office, and I think next Thursday is his deadline that he can enter. And he's still waiting to hear from Cumulus, so we're hoping that that can happen. I was hoping to get a little more information from him, but I guess I'll wait.
Yeah, you're gonna have to wait on that one.
What the hell's in New York anyway?
They're at a pumpkin festival or a fall festival, and I think she got them tickets to a pumpkin festival patch or some kind of deal like that. But yeah, they're celebrating fall in New York.
You know what's crazy is that I wish there were pumpkins in Alabama. You know, that you could just go to a pumpkin patch and celebrate. I really wish you could. Right. It's too bad that this state in North Alabama, in Huntsville.
Do I need to be you can do that. I know where you're going with this. You're sarcastically saying Dale should be here doing that, but I
need you to stop trying to blow up my spot. You know I'm being sarcastic. You don't have to say it. Anyway, that, by the way, is Antonio McBeef. If you've never heard him on the show, you're one of the many. He is normally a fill-in guy for me when I'm gone. But he produces the Tom Abraham Show, which is weekdays from what time?
2 to 6.
You produce that show, and for some ungodly reason, you get to produce the Dale Jackson Show as well.
I do, and I get to host a show from 9 to 11 a.m. on this station right here every Saturday morning as well, if you guys want to check that out. Arky is not on it, so all of you Arky faithfuls, I understand if you don't tune in. I'd appreciate it if you gave us a chance, but I can bring him in every now and then.
The show is called Tony Mac and the Triplet.
Yeah, you are not the triplet.
Are you a triplet? No. But I'm not actually the triplet. He is one of your friends from, I'm just going to guess, grade school.
No, not grade school. Actually, a good buddy of mine that I met in college. So,
see, in radio, it's all about who you know. If you want to get on the air, just know somebody. and you can know us as well. Today it's a Hover Helmet Fantasy Challenge Friday. Don't worry, Nick Flanagan will still be on the show. Nick Flanagan is not one of these punks that punks out on his interview obligations.
Taking shots at Dale Jackson again. Wow, Arky.
Well, Dale deserves it.
You're normally a very happy guy, Arky, when I talk to you. You're taking shots on a Friday morning. I'm not saying I don't like it. I like it.
Hover Helmet Fantasy Football Friday. As you heard, Michael Widener just made the announcement that NFL teams are coming. They are coming for pre-order as soon as next week, and in a couple weeks, I guess the week after that, they'll be able to start shipping those out. Now, they're starting with the top 15 selling overall teams with the NFL, so overall merchandise sales dictate this to start off. And I did do some research during the break. Did you know how many NFL teams there are?
15? No? Just
the 15?
Yeah, just those 15.
Just the 15 that he's starting with. It is a 15-team league now. No, it turns out that there are multiple divisions. There are four divisions with four teams each. Multiply that's 16. times two conferences is 32.
Wow, your math is
impeccable. Some reason, it blew my mind earlier. Because I felt like Michael was telling us to do the top 15. I thought, well, that's half. I was like,
wait.
Well, that's weird. I thought it was 32. Could it really be 30? Did we contract somebody during the weekend? Because I feel like I would have known about that. So you can win a hover helmet, and pretty soon it can be an NFL hover helmet as well. Hoverhelmets.com is the website. The only place that you can get 20% off and free shipping is there with the promo code CUBE. So get your college quarterback, running back, and wide receiver in. The most points, get this, wins. That's all it takes is the most points. So text in to 910-663-5663. That number again? 910-663-5663. So I'll bring Antonio in only really to fill time until Nick Flanagan shows him.
You know how to make a guy feel wanted, aren't you?
No, I don't know how to do that either. I wanted to bring you in because I wanted to get a couple more minutes of college football talk before we brought Nick Flanagan in.
Okay.
It's a good, solid weekend of football. The Alabama and Auburns of the world we've talked about ad nauseum this week. Alabama, big favorites. It would take a lot. But then again, I think a couple years ago when it was 19-14, I think Alabama was a big favorite in that game too, and it was close. But Josh Dobbs ain't coming through that door. So it's a little bit of a different scenario. Auburn is a big favorite against Arkansas. But Arkansas right now is going to be a big underdog to just about anybody not named Ole Miss and Vanderbilt. And so then we ask about the other games that are coming up this weekend, the couple of big ones, including Michigan and Penn State. Penn State about to do a back-to-back week stretch where they're going to find out how real they are real quick, and we'll see if they deserve being up to number two in some polls, maybe even number one, maybe someone else try to take Alabama's mantle. And then we got USC and Notre Dame. Which is always a... isn't that the battle for the Shillelagh Trophy? The Shillelagh? It's the battle for the ukulele or the Shillelagh. Look that up. I'm pretty sure that's a fact. It's called like the Shillelagh, the Shillelagh.
Well,
I don't know how to spell it. I know it's like L-E-I-G-H. So that's going to be a big matchup this weekend. But what are you looking forward to outside of the big matchups in the Alabama and Auburn?
There are a couple games that I think
if
are going to...
If you say Oklahoma, I will kick
no.
you.
No. No, there are going to be...
I know you're in Oklahoma, but they're playing the fraudiest fraud of college football history, and that's at Kansas State.
Agreed. You brought that one up. Going to Manhattan can be tricky, but Oklahoma should handle business. That's not the game I'm going to bring up. There are a couple. One in the SEC, one in the Big 12. Oklahoma State going to Austin to take on Texas. I think that's going to be... Oklahoma State's only a 7-point favorite. I think watch that one carefully. Texas has played very well against, I would say, top-ranked teams, but Oklahoma kind of fell off a little bit. But top 10 teams. USC's out now, but when they went to USC, the talent showed up. Tom Herman hasn't really been able to pull a ranked Texas team together yet. He's still putting this thing together piece by piece. But this, when you have the talent there, like Charlie Strong put there, that's the one thing he did right at Texas. It's eventually going to show up in a big game, and it has so far. They haven't gotten over the talent. Sure, I mean, they played very well against Oklahoma. They played very well against
Oklahoma
USC.
Or did play very poorly against Texas?
No, Texas played very well. The defense is where most of the talent is, and they played a very, very good game the entire way through. And Oklahoma's offense got a little stagnant in the second half. But the Texas
Can we talk about
defense,
the Oklahoma-Texas game for just a moment?
Sure.
Could that game have taken any longer to end?
Tell me about it. I'm glad it's over.
It was a foregone conclusion, essentially, what was going to happen at the end of that game.
Yeah.
It just took forever with reviews, after placement of balls, and after...
I would say next to the SEC, and it's very close, the officiating in the Big 12 is the worst. It's pretty bad.
Why do people always bang on a ref? No one ever says, good call, ref. The referees are there for us to bang on. I guess that's it.
Oh, well, yeah.
I sit there and I'll pick up and I'll stand up for referees. They're not intentionally making bad calls.
Well,
there are some bad calls. But to sit there every week to trash and attack the refs is a little ridiculous.
Well, you got it. It's a good thing
they
have things.
All the refs who are listening who ref Little League football and stuff in basketball, I'm with you.
Are you trying to get on everybody's good side? I mean,
well, two of the people. There's two people listening to the refs.
When you're doing anything in sports, you got to have thick skin. Even in sports radio, you got to be a thick skin kind of person. And then you learn around here that when you do your job correctly, you don't necessarily get a pat on the back. You're expected to do that. And
no,
probably
but it's
why the refs
every
don't get
single play. There's a segment of Alabama fans, too large for my liking, that basically say no one calls stuff against against teams who play Alabama. That they just basically essentially give the benefit of the doubt because Alabama is so much better than most of the teams. They don't call stuff against those teams. In fact, I think Alabama statistically the last couple of years, it kind of bears out that they are one of the fewest teams to have defenses or opposing teams to have penalties called against it. So it kind of does bear out, but Alabama fans scream about it all the time. All the time.
Anything to piss off an Alabama fan, I'm okay with. I mean, you're winning.
Wow.
Hey, okay. It's not affecting you anyway right now. I mean, one.
I have to read this stuff.
Nobody's going to. I don't know about the past as far as teams not being penalized, but right now Alabama's running for 800 yards a game. I mean, you're not doing anything to stop them.
That's an exaggeration.
If you are penalized, if you are actually.
I think the biggest thing people don't call, they think that other teams' opposing offensive lines aren't called for holding as much. Well, that's the thing I see the biggest discrepancy in. Not necessarily pass interferences for the most part, or, you know, a chop block that people thought a couple weeks ago against Old Mississippi. But they sort of look at it as the other team's offensive line, because that defensive front has been so good for so many years, that there's only so many times that you're going to be able to call holding without just completely holding the game up.
Well, I can sympathize there. Excuse me. It's been a long morning. I can sympathize there, because if you go back and watch the Oklahoma-Texas game that you brought up earlier, Obo Okoronkwo, Oklahoma's jack linebacker, defensive end that they use, he'd been held several times. I really don't like to complain about the officiating often in an Oklahoma game. I don't want to be that kind of fan, but it was a very obvious being held the entire football game. So I can probably get behind the Alabama fans talking about that being held a bunch. Holding happens on just about every play, but even when you are that much better than everybody, you don't want to see it. You want to see it called fairly, and if it does get called fairly and it happens to be that they weren't calling it fairly before and Alabama just continues to win by an even bigger margin, well, I'm sorry, Alabama football's boring.
I think more penalties need to be called on Alabama just to make the games closer.
That's fair.
Just for a competitive balance standpoint, there should be more holding called on Alabama. A lot more holding. Like only holding, like every single play to make this, or else it's not fair. And by the way, if that didn't start early in the first half against Tennessee, they ain't gonna make it. Tennessee ain't gonna make it.
Yeah,
because there is no real. Paint me the scenario before we go to break and welcome Andy Flanagan, head coach of the Randolph Raiders. Paint me the scenario where Tennessee is in the game in the fourth quarter with a chance to do damage.
I think there would have to be a bus or plane accident on the way to Knox, it's in Bryant Denny this year. So I guess on the way to the stadium somehow, there needs to be a slip and slide that causes injury after injury. Jalen Hurts needs to get blistered drunk before the game and show up hungover and not play. Things that just aren't going to happen have to happen for Tennessee to be in this game. If Alabama's minds are in it, which Nick Saban was worried about going into practice yesterday and today, their minds necessarily not being in it. And now that he's focused on their minds being in this football game, I don't think there's anything Tennessee can do to stop them, because they have a run defense. Me, you, and Cole can go run for 200 yards a game in, and they're hosting they're about to go play an offense that runs for over 300 yards a game. That is not an exaggeration. So I really don't think there's anything realistic that Tennessee can do, because they're anemic on offense. Their defense has holes, you know, that just keep getting worse. They were bad last year, and that was an area that everybody wanted to see them improve on, that maybe they could, and they didn't. I mean, at the end of the year, they were getting beat down and allowing a bunch of yards to Vandy, South Carolina, and now you're about to, with that not being fixed, being riddled with injuries, and really not playing well anyway with those guys healthy, you're about to allow a team that doesn't have to throw the football. We don't know if Jalen Hurts has improved throwing the football. There's a lot of speculation that he hasn't, but until we see maybe them play that Auburn defense or a Georgia defense and then maybe a Clemson defense, if Clemson can continue to win out, they're not going to need to throw the football. We're not going to need to find out if Jalen Hurts can throw it, because their run game is just that good, and that great run – their run offense, excuse me, is that good. And now that running offense is about to go up against one of the worst running defenses in the country.
One of my favorite transitions for Alabama fans – for a lot of Alabama fans, trust me, I love us. I love us as Alabama fans. is the fact that Alabama fans want you to do nothing but run the ball. Yep. And when Jalen throws it and it's not perfect, a lot of fans turn into, what's going to cost us? It's like, would you want him to run it all the time or not?
I was kind of on that train last year when Jalen Hurts was throwing the football. Eventually they're going to run into somebody that'll be able to stop them, and they'll end up beating Alabama. Clemson beat them, but it wasn't because of that. So now I'm on the side where it doesn't matter. I honestly don't think he's improved that much throwing the football. It just doesn't matter if he has or not. He's going to be able to make the throws he needs to, because honestly, they're not going to be that difficult. I don't see a complete team around the country that's going to be able to prevent him from scoring, running or passing. They're not going to be able to shut his run game down enough to force him to pass. Nobody in the country is going to be able to do that.
The realistic scenario, short of a terrorist attack you're asking for
absolutely,
for Alabama on campus, is quite simple. Alabama has to have multiple turnovers. And they kind of had that early situation going on with Arkansas last week. They had one weakness in their game last week, which was dropping a lot of punts, and on the punt return, turned over one of them. You thought that's your chance if you're Arkansas to try to put pressure on Alabama. But if you get a couple of those deep inside the red zone, if you get a couple and turn those into actual touchdowns instead of field goals, you might be looking at a much different play. It's much easier and much more comfortable to play against Alabama when you're on top and putting pressure on them 14-0, 14-3, 14-10, as opposed to trying to come back being down 17-3. The entire time.
Yeah, but again, those turnovers are going to have to come deep in Alabama's own territory, because Tennessee won't be able to go the length of the field to score on Alabama. And also, Alabama's going to have to cause those turnovers themselves. They're going to have to shoot themselves in the foot. I don't think Tennessee can force a turnover against Alabama.
Before we get out of here and go to break, Charles Kramer says, when Hover Helmut said top 15 NFL teams, they're talking about fan bases, right? Because Bills Mafia, top fan base around, filled up ATL. Nice job. Chris Cross says, cute to hear a radio personality admit they like ticking off Bama fans, especially from an Oklahoma homer.
Well,
yeah. And Chris Cross says,
you're not wrong.
So Bama is the only team that holds? Question mark. Weird, because Jonathan Allen and company would have caused more havoc without all the holding last year. They're not the only team that holds. It's just that's the way you make things even.
I just blame Texas for holding.
You have to call it on Bama. We're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, Nick Flanagan, head coach of the Randolph Raiders, is going to talk about his team being 5-2 and now rested 3-1 in region. When did that happen? Coming up next, Cube Show. Back live into the Cube Show. R.K. Shea here. Welcome in the head coach of the Randolph Raiders. He is Nick Flanagan. Coach, how are you?
Good. I'm doing really well this morning.
It's going to be a good night of high school football, man.
It is. It's going to be a little chilly tonight. It's kind of feeling like football weather.
Yeah, and not only that, but like you're heading down toward like Kinnamer Cove and stuff.
Oh,
like
man. It's beautiful. Beautiful place.
But chilly. Because
it'll be a little chilly, but it's going to be
top of the mountain.
Yeah,
so
it's going to be really nice. They've got a really beautiful setting for high school football. One of the best. I mean, I still think ours is the best in the state of Alabama, but as far as a setting, it's pretty close. Theirs is pretty close.
Well, it's hard to really beat Sports Midfield. Jones Valley with all the trees, especially now we're fall and everything's starting to
change the colors a little bit. Yeah,
because that last home game right now until hopefully the playoffs will be next week.
Next week be homecoming, be a really big night for us.
Be pretty too.
We got a big one tonight.
Big one tonight at DAR. It is going to be huge. It's region play, obviously, and you've already clinched a playoff spot. But there's still a ton in front of you, including hosting. Number one seed is still on the line in the region. It is a lot on the line. So tonight, the guys have to be really focused.
Yeah, it's our big thing is as you know, our motto has been dominate all year, and that's, you know, we want to continue doing that again tonight. We can't focus on all the other intangibles and everything else that's going on. Our main focus has been DAR, and that's all we're focused on right now is making sure tonight we go out and dominate an opponent tonight and let whatever it may happen, the chips will fall in their place as they may. And we just we've got to focus on beating a DAR team that's pretty good offensively. I think the best in our region in terms of the way they've been able to put points on the board. And so we just got to go out and play a really good game of football tonight, not turn the football over. Special teams is going to be key tonight as well. They've got a couple guys that if you kick it to them, they're going to be able to return it on you quickly. So they returned one last year on us. So we want to be really sound on special teams tonight and defensively just be able to contain guys and get our offense on the field when we can get it on there.
DAR is a dangerous team. No one scores more than them in this region. You're right. DAR, they go over 34 points a game. Randolph defense, by the way, your guys' defense is statistically like the best in the region, averaging just 12 points a game allowed. I mean, just 88 points allowed so far this season.
Pretty impressive.
Through seven games.
That's a very impressive stat. It's going to be tested tonight. There's no doubt it'll be tested tonight. So hopefully, Coach Killen's got a really good plan in place. I know he had against North Jackson, he did a really good job of being able to shut that down. That was a tough game defensively to prepare for, and he did a really good job of shutting those guys down. And I think tonight we've got a good plan in place. It's just got to go out and execute.
Last week you had the week off to be able to rest. I mean, this late in the season's got to be really helpful for you guys.
Yeah, it was. It is. You know, we were able to rest up a little bit last week. Gave them Monday and Friday off, so three pretty good days of practice. Was able to get back to more fundamental based practice type stuff. Not really preparing for an opponent, so to speak. It was more of a really fundamentally based practices, and we're able to have a little fun in the afternoons afterwards. So it was a really good week of preparation, of just practice in general, and then we've had a good week this week. I think in terms of focus level, this week has been one of the most focused I've seen our guys. And, we told them after the break, and made the mention to them last Thursday before we, dismissed them for the weekend. You know, here you are, you're at the halfway point, to think about it, you played seven games, and you turn around, potentially play eight more. So you're right there at that halfway park, and now it's got to be that same mentality that we had in August when we started fall camp of, hey, we're moving forward, and the first half of the season's behind us, we're moving forward the second half of the season, and we want to be better the second half than we were the first.
2 weeks ago against North Jackson, you win that, you go 3-1 in the region, you clinch a playoff spot. Exciting there. Are you glad that you're able to get the week off to not only just heal, but to try to avoid maybe some type of hangover of the celebration and just sort of get back to focus now with 1 week off? That's sort of your celebrate time. You get back to focus a couple of days later, and then this week, legit, hardcore, right into DAR tape.
Yeah, last week came at a really good time in our season because I think throughout the course of the season, it's hard to keep guys motivated and to a grind every day. You know, Nick Saban does it better than anybody. Obviously, he's the highest paid coach in the country. But just making guys do exactly the same routine every single day and be good at it. And it's hard to do that with high school kids, but that's how you've got to do it in order to win games. And it's got to be a routine-based thing that we do every day. But you get in the grind of a season, kids can lose focus. And it came at such a good week last week because after we beat North Jackson, and then going into DAR this week, I've seen a different focus in our kids. And it's not been an intensity-based scream and yell that we're all excited to be here. It's just been an intent focus that I haven't seen. And it's exciting to see. They're ready to play. I mean, I think that's a little bit of it too. They're hungry. They're ready to play now. And so I think it's that break definitely came at the right time.
Plus, not to mention that you get an extra week to prepare for a completely different offense than what you're preparing for. I mean, you're going from basically 9 offensive linemen, it feels like, 7 linemen, 2 tight ends, and a mobile quarterback, to a team that's much more spread, much more throw it down the field, and much more active with their receivers. This time's good to be able to prepare for something like that.
We were able to last week, because the week before, we didn't have a ton of just, scaly periods with our defense because, we knew their 6 routes that they were going to run, and we just repped those in our indie drills. So, we were man coverage majority of the time until the second half defensively. So this, all last week we were able to do some scaly periods, and then this week been able to really focus in, and that helped being able to do that last week because you're facing a different opponent tonight.
Yeah, much different team, and this Randolph team has not necessarily been much different except for they continue. It seems like you guys continue to build on which you started just a few seasons ago. 5-2, already clinched a playoff spot a couple of weeks ago. Now it's time to sort of focus on the next task at hand, trying to get to host a playoff game, maybe get, which means one of the first two seeds in the region, maybe get that number one seed, get to the playoffs, win a playoff game. This is stuff that Randolph is now talking about for the first time in realistic ways of building upon that success you've already had. How did all this stuff happen? Randolph's one of those stories where they didn't have football for a long time. And then they had like 8-man football. And then now it's, you know, back to the normal varsity football. And you started to, since you've been there, build upon things Randolph's never done before.
It's a good group of kids coming through. I think that's never to be looked at any other way. We've got a really good group, and it's been the senior class and the senior class that have come before us, the, you know, John Sadler Evans, the Griffin Widners, the guys of that, the Forrest Webbers last year, the Ward Pullins and the Austin Lewes, those guys that have come before and set the pace. That, you know, I was, you know, talking to Griffin Widener last night and kind of thinking about how kind of some of this started, and it really was more so of just a culture change. It was a we really focused in on changing the culture and focusing in on being a totally different culture, and that's really where I feel like it started. I'm not doing anything that any other coach wouldn't do. It's just I had kids buy into it, and I had coaches buy into it, and that's where your key is because if the coaches are bought in, if you can sell those kids first, that's got to be your number one goal, is making sure those kids are bought into what you're selling, and then the coaches can buy into it, then you're able to have success because, you know, we don't have a huge staff in terms of coaches, but we've got some guys that, for example, Mark Salster, he coaches our defensive line. Coach Salster works. He's overall he's an administrator there and over our maintenance department at the school, but he doesn't get paid a dime to do football, and he'll be at that school tomorrow morning at 6:30 washing clothes, and he doesn't get paid a dime, but he's just bought into these kids and bought into the way our culture wants to be, and he's doing it because he loves to be a part of this. And you got Coach Killen, who I think defensive mindedly is as good as they get. I mean, I can tell you I've not made one defensive game plan this year, and he tells me, and I give him free rein to do what he wants because I trust him. But that trust was gained through him buying into what we were doing and him buying into whatever my philosophy may be, and you know, Coach Pinnell, Coach Ward, you know, Coach Sherrill, all those guys, you know, I could name all of them, obviously my entire coaching staff, Coach Gaunt, who just decided, hey, if this, our strength condition coach, hey, if we're going to change this culture, and that's what I said, the weight room's got to be a key priority, and he just ran with it. And again, I've not made a workout plan up either. He's in charge of that, and I trust him, but I trust him because he trusted me and he trusted what I was selling. And then you look at the kids that have bought into it. I mean, you know, just the, I can't tell you the night that and I'm getting emotional even thinking about it. You know, we're playing Madison County, and we're just driving the ball down the field, just, you know, running the football. And I got a receiver who hasn't caught a touchdown pass since Brad Layton, caught a touchdown pass, and Houston Mooring hadn't caught one all year. Both of those guys are coming to the sidelines and getting, you know, the plays in from me, and they're looking at me and saying, "Coach, don't stop running the football." And I'm calling the plays, and I mean, how unselfish can that be? How unselfish that kids are balled in? You know, hey, you're out there blocking your butt off, you know, for 48 minutes, and no one's throwing you a bone. And you're coming to the sideline, coach, keep running the football. And it's guys like LaVon being okay for Jackson to go in for three plays and him get the yardage. LaVon doesn't care. I mean, you know, the Ardmore game didn't even score a touchdown. He had a great night, but it was more so of just guys being selfless. I mean, and that's what I feel like drives not just a program. It drives an entire school. It drives a business. I mean, it drives this country. I mean, it's a bunch of selfless people that really want to do what's best for everyone else around them, and they can take themselves out of the equation and look at it as, you know, what's going to make this program successful, and if that means, you know, if that means that it's, you know, whatever it may be, you know, whatever I may have to do. Going out yesterday afternoon when I was off yesterday, and me and Tripp Sliman, goodness, I'm sore from it today, but I was long snapping a trip all day yesterday after practice. Whatever those things may be, and just looking out for other people, I think that's what drives kids to win, and that's what drives a program to win. It's not a situation where I've got some golden ticket that we've been able to do. It's good athletes and a bunch of guys just willing to run through a wall, and that's what we've got right now, and that's the way we are, and coaches that are bought into that, and coaches that want to be a part of that. Kids see the coaches together, and they see how good of a relationship all of us have together. They're going to have a good relationship. That's a brotherhood, and they It's one big program. It's one big machine that's just striving for one common goal, and that's to be the best we can for each other.
You need that mentality as a team to be able to do things like you've done this year, like beat Madison County for the first time ever, beat North Jackson for the first time ever, to break down these barriers that Randolph's never done, and to find yourself in the playoffs for the third straight season. And with three games to go, a lot still ahead of it before you even get to the playoffs in the second week of November. I mean, there's just so much ahead of it, and it starts with that team mentality. And that's one focused, one group that's ready to run through a wall for each other.
I think, and I do. And I think it's just something to – I think football is one of the best – I think it is the best sport. And I'm a baseball guy. You know, I play college baseball. I think football is the best sport in teaching you about life because, you know, in that North Jackson game, you never – that announcer never once called Tim Curran's name. Tim Curran never got a tackle that night. But the two guys behind him, Reed Thurman and Jackson Vest, were called on a lot, had combined for 22 tackles that night. But see, what no one knew was that Tim was taking the guard and the tackle's knees out every single play to free those guys up. So we weren't getting a guy up to our linebacker. And you don't see that. And that's just, you talk about selfless. I mean, imagine going in knowing, hey, my job tonight is to take out that guy's knees. And I've got to do that so those guys behind me can make the play. But it didn't matter. He wanted to win. And he wanted it for what was best. And that's the stories and that's the you know, the things that you see that happen in football that motivates me to get up and do what I do each day, because that's what life's about. It's about being the best you can be for the people around you.
The dirty work that never gets talked about.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I'm trying to talk about it on the broadcast if I can get to it. It's a lot of high-power offense going on, too.
Very much.
As well.
Yeah.
Coach, best of luck tonight against DAR. Look to come home with the victory, and next week hopefully be talking about a chance – clinching
a home
playoff game, but you gotta win the next two. The last two region games are tonight and next week. Control your own destiny right now. Take care of DAR in front of you tonight.
Everything that we've said and our goals that we've set out for, they're right in front of us. We want to win eight games and we want to host a playoff game at home. And here you are. You've got that, but it all starts tonight. You got to make sure tonight that we're there and ready to play. And let's have a good night of Friday night football.
Coach, best of luck.
Thank you.
Take a quick time out. Cube Show next.
Thunder, thunder, feel the thunder. Lightning and the thunder, thunder, thunder. Thunder.
Back live into the Cube Show. Thanks to Coach Nick Flanagan for joining us for a few minutes there. Big game tonight, 6:30 is when coverage starts of Randolph taking on the DAR Patriots. DAR KD Duncan. Kate Duncan Smith, I'm sorry. Patriots tonight. Game kicks right around 7 o'clock, as you know, per usual. Last chance to get in. I'll give you until the top of the hour to get in for the Cube Show Hover Helmet Fantasy Football Challenge. Go to hoverhelmets.com to use that promo code CUBE. No more money can you save with any promo code, any promotion, anywhere, the entire country, nay, world, than by using the promo code CUBE. 20% and free shipping. College quarterback, college running back, college wide receiver. Send that to 910-663-5663. That's 910-663-5663. And don't forget, 11:30 a.m. coverage starts of Alabama and Tennessee tomorrow. Coverage of the NFL and the Titans starts 11 a.m. on Sunday. The Sunday night game, it's Falcons at Patriots. We'll have that for you on the ump as well. That's going to do it for us. The roundtable is coming up next. Thanks for being aboard. Send Sarah Hodges some love. We appreciate her. We'll try to get her back in before she leaves, of course. Cube Show.